is, you know, okay, everybody, you have breakfast, be courageous, close your eyes, you can peek, it's okay. Am I blocking you from when you peek? Okay, so one more time, louder, if you, okay, one, two, three, go. Do not okay, now, everyone close your eyes, you could do it, you know. Do not, ready, go. Hey, you did better, see, you could do it. It's not hard, don't be afraid, okay. And yesterday, this is just a quick review. We know that it's a total change. One of the Lina's slides said it's not like putting on makeup, right? We all laugh about it. Oh, I see. It's not wearing a mask. It's a total change. And this change is very different from any other changes we know. Most of the changes come from outside. When you want to change your fashion, change your style, change your hair, you know, it comes from outside, external. But this change has to. The order is very important. It must come from within, from inside. And it is also like moving into a different kingdom, a different kingdom. Just like when a person might immigrate from Taiwan to United States, the language is different, the people is different, the culture is different, the food you eat is different, everything is different. Everything is different in this kingdom. In this kingdom, how you make decisions is different. The perspective that you use to look at others is different. Everything is different. Now, we're going to take a few moments. Today, we will not have time to have a group discussion like yesterday, but tomorrow we will, because today we want to see more hymns. Think about what is a kingdom. Something very basic tells us that kingdom has people, right? If you are in a kingdom all by yourself, you cannot call that a kingdom, right? That makes sense? Okay. So that tells you in a kingdom how you interact with others are important. And if it is a kingdom, meaning that there is a king, right? That's why it's called a kingdom. And it's self-sufficient, meaning that within that kingdom, your life is in that kingdom. You don't need to go out to do something and come back to this kingdom and then go out. For example, you could see that in ourselves. Later, when we look and try to figure out which kingdom do we live in, you are not sure, because you may have living in two kingdoms. During the daytime, when you are at school, you live in another kingdom. But every week on Sabbath, then you move into the kingdom of God. And if you continue to do this, then you realize that the God's kingdom to you is an interruption. It interrupts your life. Because all these other days, you don't live in that kingdom. And that is very interesting. We need to think about it. Now, we're going to look a little bit closer. The kingdom of God. We are talking about spiritual kingdom. This kingdom is not a kingdom that your eyes could see. This is a kingdom your eyes cannot see. Okay, cannot see. If my eye cannot see this kingdom, then how am I going to live in this invisible kingdom? It is a kingdom that is visible. That is visible through the word of God. So a lot of people say, oh, well, I'm not a great reader. It is not that I don't read Bible. I have nothing personally against reading Bible. It's just that I don't read at all. I just don't read. You don't understand. I don't read, you know. So, of course, I cannot read Bible. But if you don't read Bible, it's not about whether you understand the Word of God. It's going to affect whether you are able to see the kingdom or not. If you don't read Bible, you cannot even see this kingdom. When you cannot see it, you're lost, you're blind. You cannot see it. Your ability to see this kingdom is very important. Because this is a J class, I'm sure that all of you have read the four gospel book. Whether you have read all books, whether you have remembered it or not, but I want to tell you something that is
very, very big. You don't need to, something that stands out. Everyone needs to know about this, about the four gospel, in the four gospel book. It is about the message from God. What is that message? The message is not very long, although the gospel book is very long. Luke has 20-some chapter, you know, John has 17 chapter, and Matthew has a lot, 20-some chapter. You know, they all together, you, if you add all the chapter in the gospel book together, they come to amount to what? Maybe about 60-ish chapters. How am I going to remember all the message in that 60 chapter? No. Relax. The message is actually very simple. Just a few words. But this message is very important. It's only a few words. When John the Baptist, the forerunner of Messiah, Jesus, the Messiah, he preached one simple, short message. And that is recorded in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. And it says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. That's how sure it is. Don't stress out over that 60 chapter. The message, the largest, the biggest message, the one central message in the anchor in that four gospel book is about the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. They wanted to tell you, they want to bring this kingdom to you, an invisible kingdom, a kingdom that is not visible, but only visible through the word of God. They wanted to bring that to you. Now, I'm going to ask brother, in the first pew, I gave you the first hint. John the Baptist's message is about repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Now, the brother in the first pew, what is the message from Jesus when he first came out to preach? Okay, brother from the first pew. Oh, here we go. The oldest one has a lot of responsibility. Who's the oldest? Joe. Is that you? Oh, I'm so sorry. You can whisper to me. What is that? I don't know. Okay. Yes. Someone is doing messages. Yes. Leon? Which church are you from?
Toronto Church.
Yes, welcome, Leon. Yes. What is that message?
Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Hey, same message. Why? Liam, are you sure you are reading correctly? Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. He has a verse. Yes. Can you believe it? The same message. See, I told you earlier, don't stress out over that 60-some chapter at this point. Remember the central, the biggest message. It is exactly the same. It is exactly the same. Now we're going to challenge. Should we continue to challenge brothers? Mm, we should. We should always start our service with brothers. Now, when Jesus sent out the 12 disciples to preach, you can guess. It's okay to guess. Jesus said, you should proclaim. Proclaim is not whispering, okay? Just now, you can whisper. Proclaim. You shall proclaim this message. What is that message? Okay. Brother from the second pew. So when Jesus sent out the 12 disciples, he said, proclaim what? The kingdom of heaven has come near. This identical message. The wording has not changed. This is the biggest theme in the four gospel book. And if we miss out, after you finish reading the four gospel book, you still don't understand what is the kingdom of God. You miss out the biggest sign, the biggest banner in the message. So, our journey is about entering and have let God establish that kingdom within us first. And that kingdom is the beginning of transformation. That kingdom is very different than the kingdom of the world. I specifically chose two kind of crown. If when you read New Testament books, as an English reader, you're gonna come across the word crown, you know. But in the original Greek, that crown are two kind of crown. One is the crown that the king wear, right? It represents his richness, his power, his authority. But another one is the one that was worn by the athlete in the ancient time, in the Greek ancient time. It's a different kind of crown that represents your inner strength. That, so it's different things. On the surface, they look very similar, but it is very, very different. The kingdom that you and I know mostly is the kingdom of this world. Romans chapter 14, 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Now, then you go, Carol, I never thought about eating and drinking all the time. That's not my concern. The matter of eating and drinking describes the kind of focus we have. Don't you always worry about your career, about your future? I have not seen a generation of youth, people so young like you, worry about your future so much. You worry about your future a lot, do you? But I know many of you do. You also worry a lot about whether I have talents or not, right? You stress out a lot about that too. You always worry, stress out a lot about whether do I look good, beautiful, presentable. You stress out over that a lot too. You also worry a lot about whether I have friend, right? Yes. These worries are not evil. I'm not saying, no, it's not evil. These are our worries when we live in the kingdom of the world. It comes in a set. It just comes in a set. You cannot live in the kingdom of the world and say, oh, I'm not going to worry about that. No, no, no. You worry about what people worry in the kingdom of the world. But when you try to immigrate, move to another kingdom, not only that, your lifestyle changes, your worries also changes. Do you know that? Your worry changes. You cannot imagine how wonderful it is if you don't need to worry about, do I have talent? I'm not smart. I need to be smarter. I need a smart pill. But I'm not. Where am I? How can I be smarter? I don't do well compared with others. I stress out a lot. I worry a lot. I'm not popular. No one likes me at school. I don't want to be a loser at school. It's hard to be a loser, to live a life of a loser at school. You know, you worry a lot. And these worries are the worry of the people who live in the world worry. You know, they are just regular people. But Romans, when Paul wrote this letter to the people in Rome, he said, you know, people in Rome live in a very different lifestyle than other provinces in his time, in the Roman time. People in Rome, they have a very beautiful, they have a very luxury lifestyle. But Paul encouraged them, that shouldn't be your focus, eating and drinking. Don't focus on that. If you focus on that, then you actually will lose sight of the kingdom of heaven. It competes your attention. In the kingdom of heaven, there is a king who rules in righteousness. You don't know how it is like when you don't have a superior, when you don't have a ruler, when you don't have authority who rule with true righteousness. A lot of you in the classroom, you feel very bitter. Sometimes you are angry because you feel you are not being treated fairly. You know, you felt, you know, this teacher of yours is not treating all the students in the class equally. And because this is the way people are in the kingdom of the world. And it would be so wonderful if the teacher could look into everyone's heart and treat everyone fairly, right? You don't know how wonderful it is if the teacher could set example and lead his students. That would be so nice. But that doesn't happen a lot, right? In the real world. And we're going to see more in this section. So we're going to take a few moments to think about the divine quality of our Lord Jesus. And I think you learn about this, you already know this phrase, right? These things are true of you. We're going to sing both verses. Take some time to reflect as we go through these wonderful characters. Okay? That is a very good question. So I went home and redid all the slides, you know. I ended up almost need to eat canned food, you know, because I didn't have time to cook dinner. So now, you start from the condition of your heart. Let's take a look. What is in your heart? Actually, at this point, as we are all sitting here, your heart is not empty. It is not. It's filled with all kinds of stuff. It's filled. It's full. It's not empty. But because we wanted to see what actually occupied your heart. We also want to know, among many things that are in your heart, there is a master who rule in your heart, who actually take charges and order you around. And what is that? As we continue to look deeper, some of you, your heart may fill with worries, believe or not. I believe that. Although you are very young, but many of you are filled with worries. Do you know worries take up a lot of spaces in your heart? Actually, worries take up more worries and pressure and stress take up most space in your heart. They are in different sizes, you know. They come in different sizes. This is one thing that take up a lot of space. How do you know that? Now, if you think back, last week, you spent a lot of time worrying about something, right? You stress out over something. See, your mind, you know, revolve around that. So, because it takes up a lot of spaces. Sometimes, besides worry, other focuses also take up a lot of space in your heart. I know some of you are very concerned about your score on the computer games. That take up a lot of space in your heart. You worry about that. I can make a higher score. I'm gonna be that person. Yes, I could do it. I can improve. I have ability. I have talents. I could get higher score. And that take up a lot of spaces in your heart. And sometimes bitterness, grief, and hurt also take up a lot of spaces in your heart. Something happened. It just doesn't go away. It continues to stay in your heart and continue to come back and revisit you. And that takes up a lot of spaces in your heart. And then we want to see what rules in your heart. You cannot see your heart, but I love this picture. Ooh, when your heart becomes transparent, how scary. Aren't you lucky that your heart are not transparent, you know, so people cannot see. Oh, Joe, your heart is occupied by worries. Sorry, I always use Joe in our J class. He's used to it. He gave me permission that I can use him as a teaching tool. You know? So I'm just going to continue to use him. Go, oh, you know, I'm glad we cannot see that. So this picture tells you what is in your heart actually affects the countenance of your face. You naturally reflect what is in your heart, but you don't know it. You don't know it. I still remember many, many years ago when Paulina was in kindergarten. I took her to the mall. I was working a lot during that time, you know. So usually on Sunday when I take her out to the mall, she was very happy. And I always bought her something to, you know, to bribe her, to make up the absent time, you know. And as I was paying for my purchases at the mall, I still remember the mall is called Robinson May. We no longer have Robinson May, do we? I was paying for the purchases, and Paulina keep pulling my skirt. What? Do you want to buy any more stuff? Isn't that what you wanted? She keep pulling my skirt. What? Just say it out loud. She keep whispering something to me. Just say it, I cannot hear you. She said, Mom, I feel sorry for the cashier. Oops, don't talk so long. Why? Then I pulled her to say, why? Why? Why you feel sorry for the cashier? You know, I'm paying for my purchase. She said, because Mom, you look so mean. I look mean? I look angry. No, I have nothing against the cashier, you know. I'm just tired from working 80 hours work week. But she was in kindergarten, she did not understand. And I was in shock. What is in my heart? Was actually reflected on my face. I looked very angry. I looked like an angry customer, you know, on Sunday at the mall, you know. I feel so bad. You cannot see your face. But you must believe that people around you, their attitude, the way they say things, you know, are just respond to your face. They are not complicated. They are not evil. They are not. They are not complicated. complicated. They are angry because you look angry. They are bitter because you probably look bitter. And that's it. People are responsive animals. They can see your face, but you can't see yourself. You know? About many things that want to rule in your heart. Colossians, Paul encouraged the member in Colossian church that let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. In the midst of conflict, you're going to experience many things wanted to rule in your heart. Anger wanted to take over in the midst of a conflict. Before you, your consent, you did not even say yes. Anger already captured your heart and rule. Or bitterness or jealousy. Some large, difficult emotion that yell the loudest, take over your heart right away. But Paul encouraged the people, said, you must be careful. Be careful, especially in difficult time. Check what is currently ruling in your heart. Yesterday, I received a phone call from Tiffany. She was having a hard time at work. She was going through difficult times. And I said, Tiffany, let the peace of the Lord rule in your heart. Let the peace of the Lord rule in your heart. And she goes, oops, what is that? And then I hang up. It's okay. Let the peace of the Lord rule in your heart. And then a few hours pass. I call. Did the peace of the Lord rule in your heart? Oh, I feel better. Thank you for the reminder. It was a hard battle. In difficult situation, you know, many things fighting to take over your heart. Be careful. Not so fast. Just say this prayer. Let the peace of the Lord, God help me. Let the peace is specifically, not the authority, not the power, but the peace. Peace. Become the master ruler. And that is a very powerful prayer. So to immigrate, to move into the kingdom, it needs to start from the attitude of your mind. And that attitudes are being created. You cannot create your own attitude. It's being created. So all you need to do in this picture, remember yesterday we talked about who has an active role? Just step to the side. Let God does his job. Every person appear around you, appear in the picture of your life, has a purpose. What purpose? He has a purpose to complete you. God needs that person to complete you. Some of you may struggle at home with your parents. If I can switch to a different set of parents, I want to switch. If I could change my brother, my sister, switch my sibling, I want to switch. If I could change my friend, you know, do you know something? Oh, that is not the right angle to enter the kingdom of heaven. You need to switch. Now you learn because you came to the music camp. You know. You need to go, this person, my brother, my sister, my mom, my dad is in my life with a purpose to complete me. Can I just step to the side? Can I just stop having so much opinion, labeling, so much emotion? Can I just turn off a little bit, just for one day? Let's see God and watch what God can do through that person. Every single person. Think about it. How come you don't live in the Roman Empire time period? How come you don't live in Japan? How come, you know, where do you come from? Why we all move here? And we are here together. Think about this. There are billions of people in this world. And why we are here together? Every person, why am I grouped together as a family with my mom and my dad? My dad has a very interesting character. My mom also has a unique personality. Why? Why? But we come in a set. Why am I included in this set? There is a profound purpose. Profound purpose. They are there to complete you. Because you are also very unique. You actually need a strong tool so that God could complete you. A strong character to complete you. You don't know yourself. You don't know yourself. So many things matters first matter, remember, kingdom must have citizens. A lot of you, I heard this comment from some of you, oh, I wish I can receive a Holy Spirit and then die the next day. Then that's my guarantee to the kingdom of heaven. Not so fast, not so fast. There is no quick, you know, fix, no quick solution. You have not been transformed. The moment you receive a Holy Spirit, it is your old self receiving that Holy Spirit, not your new self yet. Your old self receiving the Holy Spirit. Remember, yesterday we learned about Holy Spirit does not control you, does not possess you, does not flip you over into a new person. So remember, it is your old self receiving the Holy Spirit. Huh. So I don't know what's going to happen to you when you appear at the door with the Holy Spirit inside of you and the old self. I don't know. That is the department of God. But you need to be transformed. And that is the mission of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to share with you just two things, two ways, because we are running out of time. Two things, but that is so important. While you are still very confused, you are stuck with your old self, you don't have strength to transform, you go, oh, what can I do? Just accept the invitation. Can you do that? Just accept the invitation. Then you're going to ask me, how to accept? Remember the parable in which Jesus taught the disciple that there was a king extending the invitation to everyone, but very few came to accept it. You don't want to be in a group who did not accept the invitation. You wanted to accept it. How? I want to show you an interesting analogy. Have you heard about this? This is for real. That a scientist took a picture of a human stomach. What kind of stomach? When someone had a large meal, you know, let's say, you guys been to a buffet, right? You always overeat at buffet. You always eat 120% of buffet, right? Hopefully not 200%. After eating, you feel your stomach is about to explode, you know, that's how full it is. There's no room in your stomach. They took a picture of a full, extremely full stomach. For those who love dessert, how many of you love dessert? Raise your hand. Love. When you look at dessert, your heart melt. Not like, oh, can you differentiate the love and the like? I like dessert. Whether I have dessert or not, it's okay. I can live without it. But I know some people who love dessert. Oh, their heart melts, you know. The scientists found out something very interesting about your stomach. Only for those who love dessert, with their stomach in its 200% full, the sight of dessert actually makes a physical impact your stomach. It sends a signal to your stomach. Your stomach starts moving. The food starts moving and squeeze out a little tiny space just for the dessert. Oh, can you believe it? This is not fiction. This actually happened. And for those who like dessert, at the sight of dessert, nothing happened to their stomach. Whether I have it or not. That tells you something very important. When you receive an invitation, if you go, oh, this invitation is so precious, I must receive it. You will start making room in your heart, although it's already 100% full. It's full of your worries. It's occupied by your worries, your stress, your other focuses, your other love, you know, whatever that is. Your love, every one of us, our heart is already full. But nothing will propel your heart to make room. But if your strong desire, I wanted to receive that invitation, I really need God to come into my heart. That strong desire will help you to make room. Your heart needs to make room. Without that, God has no space to come in and do the wonderful work in your heart. So it is about respond. Respond and make room. Now, sorry, got a little confused. Repent. Repent is a very heavy word. It's very hard to associate repentance and joy, right? Can you? Do you think repentance, usually you feel very heavy when people mention about repentance, right? Actually, repentance is very joyful because you cannot see yourself. When a person is blind, you are not happy. For some reason, every time when I come to understanding of a verse, that verse allows me enable to see my spiritual inadequacy. My spiritual inadequacy. And that moment, I cannot describe what happened, what went through in my heart. I feel so joyful. And because I was able to see my spiritual inadequacy, that leads to a very joyful repentance. I want God to fix me. I feel bad. You know, I feel bad to be so selfish. When someone tells you, hey, you are selfish, it's like an arrow that, you know, a knife cuts straight to your heart. That hurts. How dare you say that I'm selfish, right? I'm going to be very angry. You behave very selfish. It's very obvious. That hurts. But when God pointed out that you are very self-centered, that is so joyful, so happy, you know? And that leads to repentance. You want God to do that to you every day, but it doesn't happen a lot. So when I come across the Psalms that King David wrote, he actually asked God, he invited God, come in to search my heart and try me to see what is in my heart. Are they genuine? And to see if there are anything that shouldn't be there. Search me, because he understands how joyful it is when God points out your inadequacy. So he wants that to happen every day. Come every morning, search me, day and night. Even when he was sleeping, you read a psalm that he wrote. When he was lying at nighttime, search me, because he's so beautiful. I like the definition that was given to us by John the Baptist, that definition of repent. No one can define repentance so clearly. I gave you the amplified version of this definition. When you go home, you can look up NIV and KJV version. In the amplified version, John Baptist said, bring forth fruit that is consistent with repentance. Parenthesis, let your life prove your change of heart. Do you understand repentance now? I cannot say it in an easier language than this. Let your life prove your change of your heart, and that is repentance. Not just the word, not just the language. This is very, very beautiful. Lastly, we need to stay in the kingdom. I see our problem. Our biggest problem is we sometimes are in the kingdom of God, but most of the time are not in the kingdom. We actually go in and out. We have problem. Our biggest issue is we cannot stay. For some reason, we cannot. We just can't come in and out, in and out. And as you go in and out, you don't know who you are. You become very confused. You don't know. Which king do I serve? You don't know your core value. You don't know who you are. The fact that you cannot stay actually bring you a lot of stress and burden, and you don't know it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 is a very, very beautiful verse. It says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. This is a simple English, right? Is there any word that you don't understand? It is for freedom that Christ set us free. But you do not understand. It took me a long time to understand. Freedom, in your understanding, in American culture, means what? Freedom to choose whatever you like, right? Does that make sense? Huh? How many of you agree that the definition? This is a common definition of freedom. I'm not coming up with a new definition. Freedom means that you are free to choose, right? If you agree, raise your hand, right? That's your understanding, right? Yeah, be honest. That's your understanding, right? Okay, fine. And that was my understanding too. Freedom means I can choose any way I want. That's called freedom. You did not know the freedom in the spiritual world is very different. freedom, meaning that you can be set free from your slavery. Every time, most of the time, when Bible describes your relationship, you as a human being, your relationship with the world, it always uses a very peculiar word. It always uses slavery, meaning that the world owns you. In today's language, you are owned by this world. Does that make sense to you? In the ancient time, it means you are enslaved by the world. This is in the spiritual realm. This is your current situation. You are owned by this world. But in Christ, God gives you a freedom to not owned by this world, to choose God. That is called the freedom in the spiritual realm. Now, you actually did not have freedom to choose any way you want. You are owned by this world. But now in Christ, in the kingdom of God, God gave you a freedom to choose. Choose God. Think about this. To choose God. Now we're going to end this section with the two clues. Remember? Make room. Your strong desire, you wanted to accept that beautiful invitation, will actually make room. Currently, you have no room. Currently, you are owned by this world. But the moment you accept Christ, you come to realization of God's kingdom. You determine to stay in Christ. It gives you freedom to choose God. Now, we're gonna switch to, remember? We want to watch this, and our wonderful counselor, Zach is going to play beautiful music for us as we reflect. Thank God for providing this wonderful counselor. Okay, now let's take a few minutes to reflect about this slide. I'm not going to say anything so that you can look at it.
Thank you.
hard.
Glory be unto his name again. And let's all pray inside.